As I mentioned last week, it often comes as a shock to believers that the Christian life ain't a playground, it's a battleground. But I want to tell you something different today. It ain't just a battleground, it is all out war. Amen? All out war. And to refresh your memory, if you are going to win this war, then you got to first realize that you're in one. If you're going through your Christian life on autopilot, not realizing that you're under attack, that you're in a war, then you're going to miss the boat and you can't win. But if you're going to win the war, you also need to know who and what you're fighting. This is going to get, I got to move this over here in case I get crazy. Amen. But if you're going to win this war, you also need to possess the power that you're going to need for victory. Furthermore, if you're going to win this war, you're going to have to be equipped with weapons to defend yourself and fight back when necessary. We learned last week that each one of us as believers face three primary enemies. We face the world, we face the flesh, and we face the devil. Every one of us. And the scripture showed us that it's faith that overcomes the world, that it's confession and repentance that overcomes the flesh. But listen, it's only by truly trusting in the Word of God that you're going to be able to defeat the enemy, the devil. See, while Satan is merely a created being, he is also a corrupted angel who knows that he's condemned, and that makes him very, very dangerous. So we must not maximize his influence, but neither should we minimize his influence, because listen, the devil's powerful. He's evil. He hates God. He is enraged with anger against God, and he hates the people that God loves. He's a formidable enemy. And that devil will use every distraction to divert you from God's plan for your life. The devil will use every hindrance that he can to prevent you from offering anything of eternal value to the kingdom of heaven. And the devil will use every weapon in his arsenal, listen to me, church, to destroy you, to destroy us. No doubt about it. We are in a battle of epic proportions. I pray that you realize you're in one. Now, as Paul closed his letter to another church of believers in Ephesus, we read in chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, Paul said, finally, he's wrapping it up, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood like you would in a normal war. No, we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. With truth. Today, we're going to examine the first vital piece of armor that God provides for us as believers in this battle against the devil. And it's called the belt of truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus told some believers, not unlike ourselves, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, that he does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. You see, from the get-go, Satan has used deceptions and lies to entice God's people not to trust the Word of God. It's been that way from the very beginning. So we must learn to love and to live God's truth. Amen. Now in 3 John verses 3 and 4, John wrote this. He said, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that was in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, my church folks, are walking in the truth of God. See, as a believer, God's truth is in you. God's truth is in you, but unless you are motivated, unless you are directed, and unless you are walking in God's truth, chances are strong that you're going to be defeated by the enemy, the devil. Paul tells us how important it is to put on the truth, to put on truth. And he uses the illustration of a belt that a Roman soldier might use. And I put up a slide that kind of, there we go. That's the idea of the belt. This is not a belt like I've got on, a little thin piece of leather. No, this is a very thick, heavy, large belt. And here's what it does. This belt holds all the rest of the armor in place. So when Paul says, spiritually speaking, about the belt of truth, he's saying that the truth of God is what's going to hold all the rest of your armor in place, just like on that Roman soldier. And since God's truth is already in the believer, we need to know as Christians how then to appropriate or how to make use of this belt of truth. How do we do it? Day in and day out, how do we make use of the belt of truth? How do you go about putting on such a belt like that? Well, first of all, you got to know what truth is. You got to know what the truth is. And then when you know what the truth is, you have to be willing to submit to the truth of God in your life. And if you'll do it, the truth of God will protect you, listen to me, in your inward being, in your soul. Now, in John chapter 8, in verse 33, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus a question. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And in verse 34, Jesus answered him and said, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pontius therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered and said, you rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should, listen to this, that I should bear witness of the truth. God's truth, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I pray you're hearing the voice of Jesus today and learning the truth. Pilate then said to him, what is truth? Good question. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all. Praise the Lord. Now, Pilate was asking a very valid question there. He asked Jesus, what is truth? Now, the simplest definition of truth is this. The actual state of a matter. The actual state of a matter. But the Bible defines truth in three ways. We know from the scriptures that the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is the actual state of the matter. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to some Jews who believed him, if you abide, that is, if you love and if you live in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, praise God. Friend, do you know the truth? Do you know the Word of God? But the Bible also says that the Son of God is truth, the actual state of the matter. In John 14, 6, Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Do you know the truth? Do you know Jesus today? Don't leave here unless you do. Amen. But thirdly, the Bible also says that the Spirit of God is truth. Jesus said in John 14 that I pray to the Father and he shall send you another comforter that he may abide. There's that word again, that you may learn to love and to live according to the Spirit of God, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Friend, do you know the truth? Is the truth of God living in you via the Holy Spirit of God? See, once you know the truth, then you can learn to make use of the truth that you know. But until you know it, you can't make use of what you know. So putting on this belt of truth is imperative. It's so important. But putting on the belt of truth is also a three-step process. It goes like this. Because you can't ignore any of the steps. You got to get them all right, right? Three-step process of putting on the belt. As I've mentioned before in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God tells us that human beings are made up of spirit, soul, and body. That's how we're made up as human beings. Spirit, soul, and body. But we're talking about the soul today. And the soul is made up of three distinct parts. The soul of the human being is made up of the mind, the heart, and the will. The mind, the heart, and the will. The mind which thinks, the heart which feels, and the will which acts. That's the soul of man. The mind, the heart, and the will make up your soul, and these are the areas where Satan will attack you. And so these are the areas that must be protected. Your mind, your heart, and your will. So to bring it all together, I shared three ways that the Bible reveals truth, right? The Word, the Son, and the Spirit. I also shared three parts of the human soul, the mind, the heart, and the will. Now let's bring those three together, right? The Word of God applies to the mind. The Son of God applies to the heart. And the Spirit of God applies to our will. Now, these are all in your notes, and I want you to hold on to them. I want you to chew on this week, okay? So here's the deal. And the reason I say this is because of this. If you find yourself struggling with a particular temptation, and I'm calling on you today to put on the belt of truth, well, you need to know what that means. What do I actually do to put on this belt of truth to battle that particular temptation? Well, first of all, here's what you got to do. The first thing you need to do is you got to get with God each and every morning, read verses from the Bible that speak to your temptation, right? And that way God's word can fortify your mind. Are you feeling me? Y'all with me? So we got to fortify our mind first with the Word of God. Then you should begin your prayer time. Pray with all your heart. Get your heart right with Jesus. Turn from that sin that offends him and begin to walk in the truth from that moment forward. So we've got our mind fortified. We've got our heart in the right place. Then and only then can you begin the hard work of yielding your will and my will to the will of the Holy Spirit of God and allowing him to take full control of everything we do from that day forward. When you do those things, y'all, I'm telling you, what you're allowing is you're allowing your soul to be permeated with the truth of God. From the moment you begin to get your mind fortified, your heart is in the right place, and now you're yielding to the Spirit of God, now your soul is filled with the truth. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at all three of those in more detail, okay? Let's begin by looking at the truth of God's Word. And the reason we want to do that is because Satan loves to attack our minds. He loves to attack us through our thoughts. See, the child of God, therefore, should look daily into the Word of God to see the Son of God and be transformed by the power of God. Amen? It all comes, you're fortifying your mind through the power of the Word. I want to remind you of Romans chapter 12, where Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There it is, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we know that Satan tries to attack us mentally. That's his, one of his tricks. He wants to deceive us and lie to us mentally. Now, if you were Satan, and I'm not trying to make any implications here, amen, but if you were Satan, what would you do? If you knew that God's word is what protected the minds of the people that God loves. If you knew that the word of God protected the minds of God's children, what would you do? Well, you'd probably do everything in your power to prevent people from hearing the word, right? You'd do everything in your power to prevent people from reading the word, right? I mean, if you could prevent God's children from hearing the word, maybe you could steal seeds of faith so that their lives wouldn't be changed for God's glory. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you can rob that seed from their life, maybe you'll keep faith out of the picture. If you could get God's children in a tizzy, everybody know what a tizzy is? If you get God's children in a tizzy first thing in the morning where they neglect their personal time with God, just maybe you could keep the word from fortifying their mind. If you could distract God's children in church with random thoughts of, like, what's for lunch? If you could distract God's children in church with random thoughts like, what in the world is that lady wearing that's on the way to the bathroom? If you could distract God's children that are in church by encouraging them to send a snap or make a post on Facebook, then maybe, just maybe, you could prevent them from hearing a word from God that might change their life. Right? I mean, if you could somehow keep people from coming to life groups on Sunday morning, because they think that they get all they need from Brother Bill's wonderful preaching, then maybe you could keep them from growing in the truth of God. My point is this, y'all. Satan will do everything in his power to keep you out of the Word of God. Everything that he can do to keep you out of the Word. But God, on the other hand, wants to fill your mind with his truth. The choice is yours. I mean, you know you need it, but Satan knows if you read it, that you might heed it, and so he's going to do everything he can to impede it. But we got to let God lead it, so we got to read it so we can succeed in it. Somebody say amen. My point is this, y'all. We got to put on this belt of truth. Intentionally, deliberately put on the truth of God to fortify your brain. Fortify your mind and your thoughts, right? Because Satan attacks the truth of God's word mentally. But there's also the truth of God's Son. Because not only does Satan attack the mind, our thoughts, but Satan also attacks our morals. He also attacks Christian ethics. See, Satan wants to replace your love for the Son with a love for sin. And so what does he do? He attacks the heart. He attacks your morals because he knows that wrong feelings, wrong emotions translate to wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong believing. And wrong believing leads to wrong behaving. He knows that it starts right here. So how do you and I go about staying in love with Jesus? How do we continue to make sure that Jesus owns our heart and not the enemy of God? This is not rocket science. It's just this easy. Y'all listen and say amen. Spend time with God. Spend time with him. Fellowship with him. Amen. Read the word. Speak to him from time to time. Without ceasing. Amen. See, Satan will do all that he can to keep you off your knees. Y'all feeling me? Satan will do everything in his power to keep you from praying. Now, why would he do such a thing? The reason is because he knows the truth. He knows that time spent with the Son of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life, will strengthen us in our inward being, in our soul. So he's going to do everything he can to keep you from praying. Now, how about the truth of God's Spirit? See, Satan not only attacks your thoughts, your mind, not only attacks your morals, but he also attacks your motivation. Satan attacks your mind mentally, your heart morally, but he attacks your will through your motives. Your motives. Now, in James chapter 1, the half-brother of the Lord wrote, but each one, remember he's writing to Christians here, okay? So he's writing to me and you. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And we know that Paul wrote in Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's right. So what is James saying here? I think that James is kind of telling us that, just like I mentioned a couple messages ago, that we are just like fish. We're just like fish. I mean, when you cast your line out there and the bait drops, the fish begin to circle the bait. And then one of them gets enough courage to come up and nibble on it. And then after they nibble on it, a desire explodes within him, and he comes and he engulfs the bait, and he is hooked. He's hooked. You see, in one form or another, we're all kind of hooked on sin. We're all kind of hooked on sin, but for the believer, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, y'all. The Holy Spirit is that Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice telling you what is right. Also telling you and empowering you to do what's right. In a nutshell, the Spirit of truth gives you and I the power to say no. No! I'm not going to sin. No, I'm not falling to that temptation. No, I'm not going to engulf that bait. No. No. I'm listening to the Spirit of God. Friend, can I challenge you today to put on, deliberately, intentionally put on the belt of truth? Bill, how do I do it? Well, I pray that through this message you've learned, the first thing you need to do is you need to spend time in God's Word. Start there. Spend time in God's Word. Then after that, spend a little bit of time on your knees. Don't let Satan keep you from praying. Spend time in the Word. Spend time on your knees, friend. And spend time communicating with the one that you claim to love. Not these stale, rote prayers over and over and over again. Talk to your Savior. Talk to your Savior. Speak to God like He's your Father, because He is. And then moment by moment, I want to encourage you to begin to yield your will to the will of the Spirit who resides in you. Just one temptation at a time, one moment at a time, yielding your will to the Spirit of God, and then begin to walk with Him all day long. See, friends, unless you and I are motivated, directed, and walking in God's truth, we will fall for the enemy's lies every single time. Every single time. It's worked since the beginning of humanity. If you permit any deception whatsoever in entering your lives, your position will be weakened, and you won't be able to fight this incredibly epic battle. And notice that the belt of truth is not offensive. You don't use the belt and go try to bash everybody's head with it. No, the belt of truth is a defensive element. It's defensive. It's intended for your protection. But if you don't put it on, you are, listen to me, you are defenseless. Defenseless against the enemy. And when we as believers have this attitude that is focused on the truth of God, then we're protected. Protected from Satan's attacks. It's not going to prevent his attacks. He ain't giving up that easy. But you're protected from his attacks. You're protected from any harm that might come. Why? Because you're standing on the truth of God. You're standing on the truth of God. But before you go about girding yourself with this belt of truth, you got to know the truth. Brothers and sisters, do you know the truth? Do you know God's truth? Do you know the truth that God sent His one and only Son to redeem you, to buy you back from the clutches of sin? To buy you back, friend, and bring you into an eternal relationship with Himself? Do you know that truth? Friend, do you know the truth that you can receive this gift that God offers only through faith, by believing in what God said He was going to do in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Son? Do you know that truth today? Friend, today is your day to know the truth. You should walk out of here standing on the truth, knowing without a shadow of a doubt what the truth of God is in your life, but appropriating it, making use of that truth in your Christian life is the greater challenge. Today's your day to know the truth, but for the Christian, today is your day to act upon the truth. To act upon the truth. Today's your day to start being motivated by the truth of God, to start being directed in every element of your life by the truth of God, and to start walking in the truth of God. It's so crazy how every Christian seems to harbor these little areas of their lives and kind of keep them tucked away where they think it's a secret. They try to hide that little area away from God. But God knows it all. Amen? Bring it all out and start walking in the truth of God. Friend, can I introduce you to the truth of God today? If you don't know him, his name is Jesus. And the Word of God speaks about him frequently. This whole book is about him. I've shared with our life group, our Wednesday morning Bible study, that everybody in this whole book is a stinking mess, except one. Y'all hearing me? They're all a mess, except for Jesus. So friend, will you let me share today that God's truth triumphs, and that if you'll come, he will direct you and he will enable you and empower you to live a Christian life that is victorious in every element that there is. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for the truth. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak to each one here as you have me all week long. Lord, those areas of my life where I'm not standing on the truth, Father, they are now opened up clearly to you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that there is one person here that has not submitted to the truth of God, Jesus Christ, that your word so clearly discusses and narrates for us. Father, I pray that you would speak to the power of the Spirit of God and encourage them to come forward and to receive the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us all to gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Lord, we all need it. We all need to be motivated by it, directed by it, and walking in it. So, Father, whatever today's burdens are, I know it's been a crushing week. Well, Lord, it's been a painful week, if I'm honest. Lord, if there is anyone carrying a burden that they don't have any business carrying, Lord, I pray they would come and just submit that before the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, if they're just feeling the need to pray, Lord, there are going to be people at this altar praying throughout this song and the next. And Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would alert us to the truth of the Spirit of God, the Son of God, and the Word of God. Lord, if there's somebody that needs to be saved today because they want to live in the truth of heaven, Lord, let today be their day to hear the truth. To hear the truth that even a lost sinner, even a mess, can come and give their lives to Jesus. And he will save them and forgive them of their sin. Lord, I thank you that you did that for me one day. And Lord, I ask you to do that for all that are here today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please stand with me.